Welcome to A Walk in the Dark. I'm your host, Bob Berry. Most actors treat their acting assignments as a matter of let's pretend. A few actors, however, take their work deadly serious. Dana Troyer is one such actor who, as we will find out, envelops his stage character like a glove.
The subway train slid noisily down the underground tunnel, its brakes periodically screeching with a sound like a demon from hell. Most cars were filled with holiday shoppers, aggressively shielding themselves from social interaction behind their evening newspapers, or simple glassy-eyed stares out the soot-covered windows. Dana Troyer sat quietly behind sunglasses, with his eyes closed, remembering better days. He was tall, lean, and handsome at 35, with a mist of gray along the temples that was mixed in with his black, wavy hair. He smiled as he recalled his first assault on New York City in search of acting jobs. He had arrived penniless like hundreds before him, with nothing to his credit but talent and a weak theatrical resume. Since high school, he had found acting easy and enjoyable, with his natural style that was immediately noticeable once he walked on stage. He recalled his waiter's job at a second-rate Greek restaurant, which kept him alive, then a string of bit parts in off-Broadway plays, which usually folded soon after they opened. But he could still hear the applause following the opening night's performance of Wilted Flowers, in which he had his first Broadway leading role. He cherished the role, which he was to play over 200 times. Dana Troyer had become a promising, up-and-coming Broadway star. He was jerked back to reality by the slowing train as it came to another stop. A sign flashed into view with the name of an avenue too blurred to read as dozens of people were swept by, waiting like statues on the platform. To his left, a fat man sat noisily crunching potato chips that he grabbed from a large bag. Dana closed his eyes again as new memories began to form. There were the hot lights. Banks and banks of stage lights with their blinding, penetrating fire. And Roscoe, the lovable little guy standing just off stage with his pink, puffy hands ready to pull the curtain rope. Finally, Amy Vaughn appeared, making her entrance from stage right and looking more beautiful than ever.
Richard?
Her whispered voice came from the past, and yet he could not help turning around. A peculiar chill came over him.
I think I should tell you where I've been.
He saw her look at the floor and then begin nervously stroking the back of the chair, which was right center stage. His cue. He turned slowly to face her. There wasn't the slightest sound from the audience.
No explanation necessary, darling. After all, you never bothered telling me anything before. Why now?
His memories were suddenly shattered by the chip-chomping and the frantic brushing of his companion's coat. The man acknowledged Dana's annoyance by merely smiling, then looked straight ahead. Dana sat irritated at the man's clumsiness, then tried to settle back to recapture the past. It took only seconds.
Why bother now? How long has this been going on?
I wanted to tell you, Richard. I did.
Like hell you did. Who is he?
What does it matter who?
It matters to me!
He was playing beautifully. The emotion was solid, sincere. The audience hypnotized. He crossed toward her, motivated by hate, as the final scene, his big scene, was about to take place. His face flushed, reflecting the tension he felt.
You thought you could get away with everything in the book. Didn't you? You've made me feel like a fool.
I didn't mean to hurt you.
Then why? Do you love him?
The lights burned, the audience forgotten. This was theater as it was meant to be, more than life itself.
Don't go, Amy. Stay with me, please. I love you.
She turned away, and all that was inside him collapsed. Then anger grew. He knew he was giving the performance of his life, and yet he felt stunned by her lack of understanding. Her uncaring confused him. In despair, he lifted his hands to his face. He moved toward her quietly, and his hands caressed her ivory neck.
You are mine. You will always be mine.
The golden hair spilled over his fingers as they tightened, then tightened some more. She fell to the floor, not with her usual theatrical grace. The curtain dropped and the lights blinked wildly. The audience was stirred as never before. He was aware of them now, and the play was over. The memories were all so clear, except for the curtain call. He had done wonderfully, he knew that. He was a fine actor and had played the part many times, but not with so much intensity or emotion. Strangely, he just couldn't remember the applause or the curtain call. Suddenly, the sharp sway of the train dissolved the past, and he resigned himself to the present. He felt as if he were in a moving tomb. He looked toward the window, but caught only a reflection of his face. He looked forward and to his right. There were fewer people now, and probably no theatergoers who had ever seen him on stage. No one except the man sitting next to him. Calls himself Ralph, and thinks Dana will do even greater things in the theater. In fact, he's lined up a new show and wants Dana for the lead. Quite a character, this Ralph. Doesn't talk much, but has a sense of humor. He even dreamed up the crazy idea of both of them being handcuffed together. A frustrated actor at heart, no doubt, trying in his best Bogart fashion to give the impression of a tough, yet silent cop. Dana didn't mind. He was a natural actor, and actors thrive on make-believe. And besides, it was a fun exercise reacting to Ralph's snorts and wheezes. Only thing that puzzled him was why, instead of the usual out-of-town opening in Boston or Philly, Ralph had decided to put on an indefinite trial run at the state mental institution.
Oh, well, a stage is a stage.
Dana closed his eyes and listened to the audience applaud once again in his memories as the train lumbered onto his next and final venue.
Stage Struck was written and directed by Bob Berry. The cast included Larry Adams, Tyler Marks, and Katie Withers. Original theme music by Brian Lee Wheat. Produced at Village Recording Studio, Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm your host, Bob Berry. Be with us next time for another unusual tale in A Walk in the Dark.